Welcome to Energy in Action. I'm your host, Marcy Young, and as a Mito patient myself, I appreciate you and the community you've helped us to build. This podcast honors the triumphs and struggles of patients and families affected by this disease and celebrates the work being done by doctors and researchers every day to make it a safer world for our people. We are a support group and a podcast focusing on all things related to mitochondrial disease. Welcome to another episode of Energy in Action. I'm your host, Marcy Young, and I am joined by three very, very special people to the mitochondrial disease community. They have given so much of their time and energy this year to be on the panel for a PFDD meeting. We did a whole episode earlier this year about what a PFDD meeting is, and now we're going to talk about how that meeting went, how it felt to be on the panel, what their experiences were like. And today I am joined by Jackie, Cheryl, and Gordon, all members of the panel. And I am going to give each of them time to introduce themselves for a minute to tell us how they got to this space, you know, how they're involved in the mitochondrial disease community. Gordon, start us off.
So in 2004, my late wife suffered a stroke, so-called, and that was very much out of the blue. We had no indication, really, that anything was going on, although when we look back in the rearview mirror, we see signs over the years indicating there was something going on. Her stroke happened when she was at the hospital, actually having a hearing test because she complained of losing hearing, and then went into this seizure stroke-like event, so-called. And it was probably my best move was to move her directly that day into Boston to Brigham, is where we ended up. And through that, we came in contact with a doctor who was working on genetic issues and working with MGH on that, and had some inkling of what he might be seeing in her presentation. And so what I like to say, we were blessed to have a very quick diagnosis within months.
That's rare.
It's rare. And one of the really difficult things I see for families is going on and on without a diagnosis. It just causes frustration, and it's just better to know what you're dealing with than to not. Anyway, that led to my searching online and trying to learn about this MELOS and MITO, things I had never heard of. It led fairly quickly to me discovering MITO Action, and that it took me a few months to get my sea legs, so to speak, and for Sandra to get her sea legs as well. And we then approached Mito Action and got involved with Mito Action. What drew me to Mito Action as opposed to others was their focus on the individuals and families that face a mitochondrial diagnosis. Yes, we all want a cure, and that's a great focus. But what I wanted was an organization that was more focused on us and what we were going through and trying to learn about this. And so we became involved with Mito Action right at that time, which was fairly early on in Mito Action's evolution. And they being the core group, Christy Ballsells was running it at that time. And I can't say enough about what she and others did in support of not only my family, but others that we were seeing. You know, we would, as anybody with MELOS knows, you become a frequent flyer at emergency rooms. And often you will have to tell the doctors what it is that's going on because they don't know. But I remember being in the throes of that situation one time, and there was Christy, you know, at the hospital. You know, I didn't know she even knew we were there, but she found her way over there, which was just an effort that I thought was above and beyond. And so we became more involved with MyoAction. And now I end up being on the board at MyoAction and seeing all the great things that we're doing in support, not only of individuals and families, but also in support of finding a cure for this thing. Mm-hmm. And that's, of course, why we ended up going to the FDA to have that interview. So that's how I got here.
Thanks for sharing, Gordon. And thanks so much for being here and for sharing with the community what this, you know, experience was like. Jackie, do you want to go next?
Sure. Hi, I'm Jackie. My connection to the mitochondrial disease community is through my younger brother, TJ, who was diagnosed with MELAS when he was 22 years old. He's 31 now, so our family has been navigating this for almost a decade at this point. TJ lives with my parents, who are his primary caregivers. And as siblings, we try to support however we can. You know, over the years, we've watched the progression of the disease, the symptoms, and how much independence it's taken from him. And it's really changed, you know, what daily life looks like for our whole family. When TJ was first diagnosed, you know, this was something that we never even heard of. And like a lot of families, we suddenly found ourselves trying to learn, like Gordon said, everything we could, while also figuring out how to live with this disease that doesn't have a cure and is progressive. So one of the ways that we've tried to channel that experience is through advocacy and fundraising over the years, you know, helping to organize and participate in different efforts to raise awareness and funding for mitochondrial disease research. Through that involvement, I've gotten more connected with MitoAction, which has been just such an incredible resource for families like mine, you know, creating space for education, support, connection, and giving patients and families really those opportunities to share their stories and advocate for that progress. Last year, I ran the Falmouth Road Race here in Massachusetts for the fifth time as part of a fundraising team, charity team through MitoAction. We called our team TJ Strong, and we raised about $9,000 together to support the work of Mito. You know, being able to bring people together around something positive like that, our friends, our families, and turn it into support for the Mito community is really meaningful for me. And again, for me, being involved in the community has been a way to turn something just incredibly difficult into something meaningful. Connecting with other families like Gordon and Cheryl, raising awareness, hopefully pushing things forward so that one day there are better treatments and better outcomes for people living with this type of disease.
Wow. Your brother's very lucky to have you.
Well, thank you.
That's incredible.
I'm lucky to have him, but thank you.
Yes, yes. I'm sure it goes both ways.
Yep.
Cheryl, introduce yourself and your family story.
Okay, well, my name's Cheryl Tonello, and my 38-year-old son, Timothy, has MELAS. He was diagnosed when he was 29. I guess I'm the rookie of the group because when he finally got to Boston, to MGH, you know, it was a whirlwind of seizure and stroke and what is MELAS? I had no clue at all. And casually, his geneticist mentioned MitoAction. You should get involved. You should check it out. But at the time, my husband was diagnosed with a terminal disease. So I was busy taking care of him.
Wow.
And then trying to navigate Timothy's issues. And I just never even pursued it because I was just in my own little bubble or whatever. And so it was interesting. Tim joined a clinical trial, and it was run by his geneticist. And she said, oh, MitoAction, talking about the FDA meeting, I think you would be great. And I'm thinking, okay. And so that basically introduced me to MitoAction without me knowing it. So I'm the rookie of the group, but I definitely would like to know more and have the time to get more involved now than I did before.
Well, thanks for sharing with us, Cheryl. We actually recently did a podcast about all the programming that MitoAction has to offer called The Nuts and Bolts. So you can find that in the episode archives and hopefully get more familiar with all the great things that the organization has to offer. Because, you know, as Gordon and Jackie said, there's so many ways to benefit for the patient and for the family. So let's talk about how you individually, you know, Cheryl, you kind of touched on it. So if you want to just kind of finish what you were saying, that the geneticist brought up the PFDD meeting to you.
Right.
The upcoming MELAS PFDD meeting was brought up to you by the geneticist.
Right.
Okay.
Now, you want to know where I went from there to panic. like, what did I get myself involved in? But once I met these great people, and once I realized that I was not the only one that was going through MELAS with a loved one, it was like eye-opening. And it was, I would say it was a wonderful, wonderful experience to be able to hear their stories. Everybody's story is a little bit different. And they're like my friends, even though I've never met them. But you know what I mean? It's just you have somebody that understands. Most people, they will ask you, oh, how's Tim doing? And you know they're hoping for you to say, oh, he's so much better. Or, oh, he's, you know, he getting healed or whatever. But we all know that no, that's not the truth. So,
but that's easier for them to hear. So that's, you know.
Right. If you say, oh, he. Yeah. So what I tried to answer was, he's good for now until he's
right.
not.
Right.
That's how I
right.
describe it.
And everything.
You know?
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jackie and Gordon, the invitation to be a part of this meeting, did that come from MitoAction for the two of you? Or was it from a physician? Gordon, do you want to speak?
Okay. It actually came from an email, I think, sent by MitoAction about something to do with MELAS. I'm on the board and I didn't know about this, but I got this email and I said, you know, I can do that, be part of I don't know what they called it, but I didn't know it was anything to do with the FDA or anything, but you fill out this form and that's what I did. And then I got a call from MitoAction. They know where to find me. So then they sort of broke the news to me that, oh, thank you. This is what you're going to end up doing. And you know, I just had no idea what it was all about, but it's certainly, just like Cheryl said, was just a wonderful experience. Difficult in some ways because you're forced to think about it and relive things and
talk about the hard stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was just maybe hard to understand, but it was sort of breathtaking to hear and see other folks who are going through what I went through and experiencing things very similar to what I did and what Sandra did. And there's something magical about that.
Yeah, yeah. So Jackie, how did you get involved in this meeting?
Yeah, so same as Gordon, I actually got the same email probably. And I immediately reached back out and I said, hey, is this something that like I could be a part of? And they immediately responded, yes. But again, I had kind of like Gordon and probably Cheryl, I had no idea what I was kind of getting myself into. I think they sent the first call out for us to meet and kind of work together. And again, no idea what I was getting into. I joined the call. I think my daughter was sick with the flu. I was like a hot mess. And when I joined the call, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is a lot going on, a lot, you know, personal stuff that we're sharing. But once I met, you know, Gordon and Cheryl and the rest of the team, like they just made it so easy and such like a safe space to share and, you know, hear what they were going through too, which is, you know, different, but the same. It was just such a great experience. And like when it ended, I was sad.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And as Cheryl said, I think we have some friends for life now.
Yeah. So you all weren't physically together for the panel.
No.
Okay. It was all virtual. So Jackie and Gordon, did you know one another before this experience?
No.
Oh, wow. But so.
Okay.
No, but so funny because the mito disease community is definitely small. And I didn't know Gordon personally, but I have always heard about the big event that Mito does for Derby Day that honors his wife. Something, you know, really well known in the community. And a few years ago, I actually took a volunteer day off of work when they were moving it to a new venue. And I went with Kira and actually toured the new venue for the event. So it was funny to realize, like, we have been connected to the same efforts without actually knowing each other. I've never attended Derby Day, but I am this year. So I'm looking forward. I'll finally meet Gordon in person. Yeah.
That'll be great.
Oh, that'll be so nice. So what was the individual preparation like once you, declared your involvement? How did you then prepare for the meeting, Jackie?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time, thinking about TJ's story and what really, defines the reality of meal loss. I met with my parents before and we actually went through his medical records. I was younger when a lot of his symptoms started showing. We're 6 years apart, but I was pretty young once symptoms started showing for him early on. So I don't necessarily remember everything. So we went through his medical records. I really wanted to hear from them as his caregivers too, the full picture so I could fully represent that. So I tried to focus on examples too that show progression as a group. Like I said, we had several prep meetings to walk through the questions and think about how to talk about the different perspectives. I will say that one moment during those prep calls really stuck with me. I was talking about TJ and his relationship with my kids and how that's changed over time. And I completely broke down and just started sobbing and had to stop talking, completely caught myself off guard. And everyone on the call was so incredibly supportive. No one rushed it. No one made it feel awkward. They just kind of gave me the space to feel it. And, it was a reminder that grief really sneaks up on you, even when you think you're prepared to talk about it. But again, that community, like we got deep really fast and it was just an amazing space. And I think that helped prep me for the actual meeting too.
Wow. Cheryl, what was your experience like preparing?
Well, I relived, like the diagnosis and the different things that we had missed beforehand. And I started just writing things down. And then I would go over it and say, okay, well, they don't need to know that. I can shorten it there. But I will say, we have to give a shout out to Marina, our moderator.
Oh, she was incredible.
She asked the questions. And even though we had a time limit of 45 minutes, what were we, like an hour and 7 minutes once? And she didn't freak out. She just said, answer the questions the way you think you should answer them, And she was a real blessing, I think. And so I would say she was the cog in the wheel that got us rolling. But once we started sharing our answers and we became like a family almost. And I know what Jackie's saying. It's like, I don't want to lose contact with those people just because it's over. The meeting was over. But the preparation was on my own. But then when she said that we went over time, I just went back over it and just tweaked it. I didn't want to be taking up more time than I should. But I don't feel like she was saying, cut it down. Don't say that. She was just supportive. And she got us where we needed to go. I would just like to know, what did the FDA think of it? That's what I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Will we ever know?
Gordon, do you have the answer to that? I don't know.
after having been involved in this since 2004, the fact that they're dedicating any time and resources to MELOS is a huge breakthrough.
Yeah, yeah.
From my perspective, it's like a breakthrough. So I like to think also that perhaps what our group brought forward might get their attention because it's a unique disorder and, you know, it requires a unique approach. And hopefully the FDA and others, and, you know, there's been some change there, which I think is good, what's been going on. And perhaps we'll see them think differently and take on more of these sort of orphaned disorders and take some action on them, because people need the help. And personally, I think that if they invest the time and support the research into the genetics around all of this, we will not only be able to affect something like MELOS in a positive way, but affect humanity more broadly. I really believe that. I think it's the core. I've come to know that the mitochondrial function is core to life. And a lot of diseases, the named disorders and all this, a lot of them relate back to the function of the mitochondria. So I'm hopeful that they will dig in on this.
I hope so too. It's so tough because it's like we're all in these very small, rare disease groups, but like even my condition presents so differently than MELOS. So it's like, you know, we want to band together, but then our needs for, you know, drug and therapy and treatment can be so different. Even the presentation within each condition can be so different. So it's so difficult. And, you know, I want to think that we should all be banding together, but like our stories would be all over the place, right? So I'm glad that there has been a PFDD meeting related to MELOS. I hope that there's more to come. Like, I hope that they see, you know, the strength, like how many different segments are affected, like what you said, you know, by mitochondrial disease in general.
It's a commonality to all of this.
Yeah.
And if it relates to the processing of energy in the human body, and to the extent they can get a hold of that, they can broadly impact all of us who have faced something to do with a mitochondrial disorder. And not only that, I believe, more broadly, I think they'll impact other diseases and disorders. And I like to say also, I think at the end of the day, I think they can impact the humans' lifespans. You know, I believe that.
I am with you 100%. So it seems like you all were very vulnerable during the meeting and shared a lot about your loved ones. Did that come naturally? Did that first feel uncomfortable in the environment? Or anything to share on that?
I mean, I can share it.
Yeah.
It was definitely emotional. But I think, you know, when you're talking about someone you love and what they're going through, like that's part of it, right?
Yeah.
And as we were prepping, they said, if there is emotion, that's okay. It's real and it's vulnerable. You know, I kind of talked about the hardest parts for me were talking about some of TJ's personality changes and, you know, relationship with my kids and things like that. But it were really hard to talk about. I remember after the meeting, we were in kind of a debrief call and someone mentioned that a lot of the stories were really sad and wondered if there had been enough hope. And I think I disagree with that. I think telling the truth about how hard this disease is kind of creates the hope, right? When people understand what families like ours are living through, I do think it creates that urgency for real change, right? The treatments, the research, the support. So for me, that's kind of where the hope comes from. Also wanted to share really quickly, I really like watching professional golf. And the winner of last weekend's tournament, Bhatia, if anybody cares, he actually said in his post-win interview that he was dedicating the win to his niece who had passed away at 5 years old from a mitochondrial disease. And it was just, really? Yeah. And
wow.
Look up the article. Yeah. The United Mitochondrial Society or Foundation posted it. So I was reading through it and it was just so cool to see something like that in like a mainstream, right, article. Ash K. Bhatia. I'll send you, Gordon. I'll email you the link.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. I think after he won, he said he saw a rainbow or something and he was like, wow, she was here with me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But it was just so nice to see him say something like, and again, remind you of how, you know, advocacy is so powerful. And I think our collective voices during that meeting are going to be powerful, whether we see it soon or it helps another family later down the line, I hope.
Right.
Mm,
yeah. Right. Well, thank you all so much for sharing your stories with us. Before we go, was when the meeting was over, did you look back? Was there anything that you were like, darn, I should have said that? Or did you walk away and you're like, I got my story out there?
I think that just collectively, at least how I feel, was while I, you know, we're time limited. You couldn't sit there and monopolize time and go into detail, perhaps that you might want them to know. But I think collectively, each of our stories covered all of the aspects that I felt needed to be covered.
Right.
So I felt really, really good about it. And I think it's more valuable because it's coming from different perspectives and yet all very harmonic, you know, together. So I thought it was very powerful.
I'll share this. I didn't regret. I thought I said everything I said. And as far as being vulnerable, you're not a textbook. We weren't there to give the textbook definition. We were there to
say what we go through
and what our patients go through. And I think we definitely, like Gwen said, I think I sent a text or an email that said, I believe that the FDA heard us loud and clear. But I just want to share one thing, and this is just personal for me. There was a time when Stephanie and Kara, right, took a
Kyra,
call
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this lady was broken. She was crying and she was pouring her heart out. And she said, you know, my sister died in my arms of MELAS. My niece died of MELAS. I just got diagnosed with MELAS. And because of my fatigue, I can only work part-time. And the doctor's ordering all these supplements. And they said, oh, we're sorry, your time's up. We have to cut it short. And for days, that just stayed with me because I wanted to find that woman. I wanted to wrap my arms around her, and I wanted to pray for her because I know there's hope in medicine, but there's also hope in the spiritual. And that just really, for days, just even now, I wish I could find her. And I'm guessing they didn't just hang up. They knew who she was and maybe, you know, somebody reached out to her. But that's the only regret. I don't know if that's the right word. The only thing that really bothered me. But everything else went perfect, I think. We said what we needed to say.
Yeah, yeah. Jackie, how do you feel about it all?
Yeah.
Like looking back?
Yeah, I think after the meeting, right, everyone has those moments where you think of something later and wish you had said it. Again, I think we were very real and said the good, the bad, the ugly, which I think will help move things forward. You know, I think one thing that wouldn't have fit into the PFDD discussion, but one perspective I think about a lot, and I think Alistair, who was the other panelist, is what this experience is like as a sibling. You know, there's a lot of survivor's guilt. TJ and I grew up together, and there's this feeling of why him, not me? Why does he live with this disease why I get to live a normal life with my own family? And I know that's something that a lot of siblings probably quietly carry. It's complicated. You're grieving someone who's still here, but you're trying to show up, support your family, and have your own emotions. And I think it's a perspective that doesn't get talked about, but I think it can help other siblings feel less alone.
Well, just having five children, you know, and Tim's right now the only one that's presented, that was what he used to say. Why me? Why did it have to be me? You know, but I think he's kind of come around to the terms of that now too. But it's hard for the others too. I'm sure they're thinking, why him and not me?
Exactly.
You know, we all have our own emotions, so.
Well, I appreciate all of you telling your story here today during this recording and as well during the meeting. And it does sound like the FDA heard you. I hope you all felt very seen in that, you know, in that moment, and knowing that that information will live and will hopefully have a really positive impact on whether it's your loved ones or other people's loved ones, or, you know, hopefully it will do some good. And that's what we're here to fight for, you know, fight for a treatment and a drug and a cure and all those good things, but also just to give each other space and to create connection. And it seems like you all have done that too. And that's really beautiful. Thank you so much for being here. And hopefully we'll have you on future episodes. So you're not done with me yet, possibly.
Oh no. Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Marcy.
Thank you for joining us. I encourage you to browse other Energy in Action podcast episodes. I am so inspired by the resilience of those in previous episodes, and I know you will be too.